Welcome to the Guthrie America podcast. We sit down with amazing people who do life in our community and who are from here because we believe every story should be told, ladies and gentlemen. I am your host, Hedy Coleman. Today, I am sitting down with Shonda Rooney.
Yes, sir.
Before we jump into this conversation with Shonda, will you please go ahead and subscribe to the podcast and leave a review? It would mean the world to us. Shout out to Kevin Kraft and his team at State Farm for helping us have every story told in my favorite town. Shonda, how you doing today?
I'm doing great.
Before we jump into this, also, I need to say we're in my house. We're doing some renovations. So if you hear some drilling and all that good stuff, don't mind it.
There's magic happening.
Yes, there's magic happening. There's things going on. And Shonda and I are cool with it. So you just be cool with it as well. And I think everything will be good. Now, Shonda, you just got back from some major basketball?
Major is a word for it. Yeah, it's 3 and 4-year-old basketball. So, yeah, it was a fascinating way to start the day. But it's all right. It was his last game, my son's last game of the season, so we don't have to suffer through any more 3 and 4-year-old basketball games for the rest of the year. So,
now, is this his first season?
Yes.
First season.
Yeah, first time he's ever gotten involved. It was my lovely friends on the YMCA board that asked us to get involved this year and wanted my husband to coach. So poor guy was thrown into that. He was voluntold to.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So they both got just kind of thrown into the fire, but they had fun. So
Good. Yeah, it's a good experience. And as a parent, you just have to learn to just like, what does it say? Musa? Is that how they say it?
Usa.
Yeah. Just chill.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay. They're learning because what happened is either they attach themselves to it, and at some point you'd be like, oh my goodness, I remember when.
Oh, I feel that toddler sports were purely invented for the enjoyment of the parents. Just you get to sit there and watch absolute chaos, and someone else's parent is coaching and trying to herd them all.
Yes.
And you just get to watch them flail about on the floor and throw balls at each other, and it's a great time.
All of that. And so you just learn to enjoy it.
Yes.
Right? You just learn to enjoy it. Now, I didn't do a major introduction of you because I like to ask this question here.
Mm-hmm.
How would your friends and family describe you if they were sitting in your chair?
Oh, they would probably just say that I'm fun. Anytime we all get together, I like to try and make everyone laugh. If you ask my older sister, she'd probably say that I was annoying. But we talk in movie quotes. We're big jokesters. We have a lot of fun. So they'd probably just say that I'm fun.
Now, you said sister. Now, how many siblings?
I have 5 sisters.
Oh my goodness. So there's 6 girls.
Yes. Now they're all kind of mix and match. Okay. All of them are half sisters.
Okay,
so
gotcha.
I have one full blood sister that's just older than me. We grew up, the house that I grew up in though, there were 4 of us. So, and then I had 2 others. Yeah. Outside of that.
Wow. So. Still all girls.
Oh yeah. All girls.
Now, was there ever a point where it was like, I just want a brother. I just want to know what that's like.
Or no.
Did someone come and fulfill that for you? Was there a cousin? No.
Mm-mm.
No, you don't even know what that.
Never was worried about it. I didn't even like my sisters that much. I would have been fine either way. But
either way, you were good.
I was fine. I didn't need any more siblings. But honestly, we all grew up to be really good friends now. So we have a lot of fun when we get together.
Now tell me this. What is something like somebody out there who did grow up with all girls, what is something like you think we may not ever understand?
About?
Being in a house full of girls.
Oh, the way you can absolutely snap at each other, like borderline almost kill each other,
yes,
and then love each other the next day. Like
okay,
me and my older sister, the one that's just older than me, the amount of times that we would beat each other up, senseless, just absolutely awful. And then the next day, we were just fine.
Yeah.
It's that is probably a complete anomaly to some people, the way that we can just absolutely be at each other's throats and then are best friends the next day.
And then also, I can only imagine if somebody was to do something to you all, how you all would probably be like, this is not going down like
that. Oh, for sure. Like, I was fighting my sister's bullies who were far bigger and older than me when I was still carrying around like a little metal lunchbox. Like, I was ready to fight for my sisters, even though I was fighting my sisters, I would also fight for my sisters.
That's
right. So
that's so true. Yeah, I get it. Now, siblings, you have sisters, but now you have your own family.
I do.
Husband, son. Mm-hmm. Tell me about your family that you're currently living in the house with.
Yes. So we moved to Guthrie in 2018. And we actually moved here because my husband has a daughter, my stepdaughter, who was living in Edmond. So we had been in Texas for a while. We wanted to be closer to her, but we didn't want to be in the big city, which is how we ended up in Guthrie. And so we get to see her a lot more now. We get to be really involved in her life. And then our little boy came around a couple years later. So he's now 3. He's going to be 4 in May. And we're right downtown and we love it.
Yeah. How has motherhood changed you? Like, what did that do for you? Is there anything that you do now that you didn't do before you were outside of just caring for your child, right?
Right.
But is there anything that you can see that's different about you?
Oh, yeah. I think it changes you from the inside out, becoming a mother. I feel a lot stronger as a person emotionally, you know, like as many, you know, small things that we may sweat throughout, you know, in our day-to-day lives and whatnot, once you have a kid and you have your family, you don't sweat the small stuff as much. So you're like, as long as my inner circle is safe and healthy and okay, like everything else will just work itself out. So I actually think that I became a little bit more emotionally stable once I became a mom, because I'm like, I don't need to worry about the small stuff anymore. I've got bigger things to care about. Yeah, so
that's good. Is it okay to share the story? I always like to know how couples met.
Yeah.
Can you tell me how you
and your husband met? I love telling this story. It just makes me seem a little bit crazy, but it's fine. So my mom was working at Chevron in downtown Houston, and I was going to college there. So I would go and have lunch with my mom every couple of days. And I was actually at the Chevron office so much that sometimes they would just kind of think that I was like an intern because I was there all the time. I was following my mom around, going to meetings and stuff. I think I was 19 at the time. And one day I just went to a meeting with my mom just because that's what I did. And I saw Aaron. He actually was like going up on stage and talking about the current like well project, because he was a petroleum engineer when I met him. And he was talking about the project that he was working on at the time. And I was just sitting in the crowd. I was like, Mom, I want that one. I was like, I want that one. I need you to introduce him to me.
Did your mom know him?
Yeah, she knew his name. She knew of him. And like they didn't work in the same department, but she knew him. So she was like, oh, yeah, I'll introduce you. Well, it was a couple of weeks, actually, where I just kind of kept going up to her office and kept kind of like peering around the corners looking for him, seeing it. Yeah. And it was actually my mom's boss who was sick of hearing me talk about him. So he was like, all right, just come with me. And he brought Aaron to my mom's office and was like, y'all just need to chat and just get this, just get it going. So it was wildly embarrassing, but it was fantastic because it obviously ended up working out. So we hung out in Aaron's office that day for like 2 hours just chatting and while he was supposed to be working. And then it's just the rest was history. We had our first date, I think, a week after that. So
that is so cool. Yeah, I love those kind of stories.
Oh, yeah.
Do you, this is in Midland, Texas, right?
That was in Houston when we met. Okay. Midland is where I grew up. Yeah.
Midland's where you grew up. Tell me about Midland. So, like, when you were a child, thinking about what you're going to do as an adult, what were you dreaming of? What did that look like for you when you were out there in Midland, Texas? Well,
for anyone who has seen Midland, it's a desert. So I actually wanted to be a marine biologist when I grew up.
Because I want to get as far away from
this. Know. I had never seen the ocean before until I was maybe like 14. And the moment I saw it, I was like, I want to live in this for the rest of my life because it was just the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. Yeah, obviously, I ended up going a different route. Uh-huh. But yeah, Midland, it's just an oil-filled town out in the middle of the desert. It was literally created to just envelop in the oil area. So that's what the whole town is centered around. There's not much to do. I love that I loved my childhood there. I had great memories in the school that I went to and everything. But yeah, it is a desert oil-filled town.
Now, how big is Midland? Like, what are we talking size?
Right? When I was growing up there, it was around, I think, 150,000 to 170,000.
Okay.
So it's definitely grown since then. But I thought that that was a small town.
Yeah, yeah.
Growing
yeah.
up there.
No, as I say, I knew it was bigger than, like, it's a good size.
Yeah, it's a good size. It's a good size town. And it's kind of merging with Odessa, too, which is another oil-filled town. So it's growing all the time. It's probably going to be a major metro area at some point.
Yeah, for sure. So you get ready to transition out of high school. Mm-hmm. What was that like for you?
Yeah, I graduated high school and I had done a lot of dual credit classes through Midland College. I went straight from high school to community college because I got a decent amount of scholarships. I wasn't going to have to pay for at least my first few semesters. So I did it at community college so that I wouldn't have to worry about student loans and everything like that. Once I got the majority of my basics out of the way at Midland College, my family had actually moved to Houston for my mom's job working at Chevron. So I moved to Houston to go be near them and just get out of Midland. You know, I'd grown up there my entire life. I didn't really know where I wanted to go or what I wanted to do, but I decided to follow my family. So I did a little bit more college. I just wanted to keep going with my college. I didn't want to take a semester off because I knew I wouldn't want to go back. I needed to just stay consistent. So I did a little bit at Lone Star College. I went to the University of Houston downtown and did all of that. And then once I met Aaron, he actually started working rotational in the oil field out at Midland. And so I transferred over to Texas Tech at the time.
Okay.
And that's where I finished my college. I did all of my like coursework there, and that's where I got my degree from.
Gotcha. What did you get your degree in?
Public relations.
So mm-hmm. getting ready to graduate college, you're looking for jobs.
Yeah.
What was that like?
Honestly, I really didn't have to do that very much because I was working at a great internship in Lubbock that I was really enjoying. And it was pretty much like a couple months before I was going to graduate is whenever we stumbled into Guthrie and figured out that this was a place that we wanted to move. And the job opening at the city just kind of fell into my lap. Aaron saw a posting for it and he sent it to me. And and then I applied and I got the job and it all worked out. So that's a whole story in its own, finding Guthrie and everything. So,
graduate, get this great job, assuming great job.
Yes.
Move to Guthrie, that transition. Like, what was some of the main things that you had to adjust to moving to a town like this?
Well,
from where you were.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of wild. We had been living in Lubbock for almost 2 years. We decided we were going to move to Oklahoma. We knew we didn't want to be in the city. So it was actually my sister-in-law, Aaron's sister, who said, I think you guys would really like this town. I want to show it to you. And it was Aaron who came up here on his own to kind of do some scouting, you know, to find a place. And she brought him to Guthrie and he called me and he was like, you're going to love this town. Like, you have no idea. So it was maybe a couple of weeks after that we came up here together. And he first brought me into town. We came in on division. I remember it. And it was once we got into the downtown area and I saw all of the red brick buildings, I was like, oh man, I love this town. And that weekend was incredible because we just got like blasted with all of the best things of Guthrie. It was in June. We got to go to Red Brick Nights because it was the first Saturday. We stayed at...
Now what year was this?
It was 2018.
2018, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
So we stayed at the Atomic Loft above Utopia Joe.
Yeah.
We did a ghost walk. Like, we ate at Stacy's place. We got to do all of these wonderful things in downtown, and I was like, I want to be here. We have to be here. This town is so cool. And yeah, there was a posting, I can't even remember, my husband was the one who found it, of the job for the tourism director at the city. And he sent it to me, and he was like, you should apply for this. So I submitted for it, and I went in, did the whole got through the entire interview process before the city manager was like, well, the tourism director position's already been filled. However, we think you'd be really great in this position for economic development. And I was like, sure, whatever you say, I'll take it. Like, I want to be in this town, I'll take it. And we moved, I got the job. I was actually standing in the backyard of our house that we were interested in when they called and offered me the job. So we were like, well, let's just buy this house. We're here right now. I got offered the job while we're in the backyard. Let's just buy it. And ever since then, I mean, I had never been in a community this small. You were actually one of the first people that we met when we came to town. I don't even know if you remember this. I know you meet a million people every day. But my mom came up here to help me move in, and we wanted to get coffee before we started unpacking, so we went to Rick's, and you were there, you came over and introduced yourself, and I was like, people in this town are so nice. Like, they just come up. That was, you asked, like, what are some of the differences you've gotten used to? No one, I mean, the way that this community, they'll just come up to you and talk and ask about your day and how you're doing and everything, like, I was not used to that. You came over and you introduced yourself and you talked about how great Guthrie was and all this stuff. And you left. My mom was like, wow, that guy was nice. How cool is that? That he just came up to you and told you about Guthrie. Yeah.
That's really good.
I don't know if you remember that or not.
I think I've done that like a lot of times.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then even my first day at the job, you brought me like a card and some chocolate from Rick's and everything. I was like, this town just has the coolest people in it. Wow.
This is amazing.
I know. It's like, people are so nice. Like,
let's keep living here.
I know. That's really good. And that was,
you to pull your chair over this just a little bit so we can get your... Get that face. Yep, there we go.
Yeah. And and you weren't the only one. There's another lovely woman, Linda Tatum. Do you know her?
Oh, yes, I know Linda.
She, same thing. She actually, I think, was a family member of someone that I was working with in Lubbock. So my first week on the job, she came by and she brought me Rick's chocolate. That's everyone's like, welcome to Guthrie Rick's chocolate.
The chocolate, because how many other places have their own chocolate?
Oh, yeah. It literally says like Guthrie, Oklahoma on it. Of course you're going to bring that. So yeah, that was something that... It didn't take any adjusting because it's such an amazing thing, but the way people just envelop you in this town, they welcome you to Guthrie and they're so excited that you're here. Like it was so easy to get used to because it was just incredible.
I do remember, I feel like I probably vaguely remember that, me coming over to you and your mom.
Yeah.
But what I do remember is when you got the job, I was so excited because you were a little bit younger.
Yes.
You know, and some of the, like, just from my heart for Guthrie is like, I mean, of course, I know that it takes everybody.
Yeah.
But it was so exciting to see some youth.
I know.
I can't remember who else got hired. I just felt like, I was like, oh, man.
Rebecca.
Yeah. Like, I was like, yeah. There's some young folks in here.
We did. We really did.
It was super exciting. And then Justin, of course, you know, he wasn't an older guy either. And so it was like, this is really cool.
We really got that young team going at the city. And that was something that I was concerned about at first, too, because I think that's a common misconception that people have about Guthrie, is that it's just a retirement town.
Yeah.
And it's so much more than that. Yeah. And me, even coming into it, I was 22 when I started at the city. And we were staying here that weekend. And that was my one thing that I was a little iffy. I was like, it just doesn't really seem like a place to like start a family. Mm-hmm. It seems more like the place that you move your already grown family to. But like going to the Ghost Walk and going to Red Brick Nights, I was like, oh, this is not a retirement town. This is so much more than that.
No, and I think it's gotten... more and more of that.
Yes.
Since you've been here. I mean, like, I remember one day I was just walking around the temple or somewhere. I was walking somewhere.
Yeah.
And I just seen all these young families. Mm-hmm. Like, people pushing strollers.
I know.
I'm like, yes, yes, that's the future for us. And so
I know.
Now it's always the work of, like, trying to keep people. And,
yes.
And continue to get things better. You know, Dr. Simpson with the schools and... just all those things collectively make a huge difference. And then now what you all are doing, talking about your role like even with the shops, like downtown. Talk to us a little bit about that and kind of the heart behind that and what that's looked like for you.
Yeah, I love that project. Is so near and dear to my heart. So it was our former city manager, Leroy, came up with the idea. There's actually a community, Carlton Landing over in Eufaula, I think.
I love Carlton.
Yeah, so they...
Not Carlton the person, I'm Carlton.
Yeah, the place, yeah. So they created these little like sheds to do pop-up shops for events. And he saw that and he was like, you know, we could take this model and turn it into a retail incubator. So I was like, you know what? I think that's a great idea. And I pursued it from that point. And I applied for two grants, was awarded both the two $50,000 grants. I was awarded both of them. And Public Works, I mean, they did the project the rest of the way. They did all of the construction of the project, the planning, the landscaping, all of it. The project would not have been able to happen without Public Works. It was almost as much manpower from Public Works as it was for like the grant funding. Yeah. They did an incredible job. And since then, we have been able to get, I think it's now 9 small businesses started in the shops area.
Wow.
And 2 have already graduated the shops program and moved into downtown and started their full-time brick and mortar stores. And we now have 2 more, one that purchased a building, they're doing some renovations, and they're actually going to move into that project together. So before the project has even been open for a year, we will have had 4 businesses graduate the program and open brick and mortar stores in downtown.
That is super cool.
Yeah, it's super exciting. So it's, I don't think I said that, but the shops is a retail incubator. So small businesses can get their start. They're just smaller garden shed like structures, and that's very low overhead. They're able to focus on their marketing and their product and grow their, you know, clientele, get their name out there, start serving in the business community in Guthrie. And we've partnered with several organizations to try and bring them more small business benefits. So the chamber offers a lower membership rate so that they don't have to pay the size of like a full size business. That's they kind of have their own. So a lot of them are members of the chamber. We also partner with Meridian. We get them all of the materials that they need so that they know they can take small business classes or any courses that might help their business over at Meridian. Anytime resources come through the Small Business Administration, I'd pass that information along. I try to act as a resource for them as well. Some of them come in as an already established business. Maybe they've been operating online. Maybe they've been, you know, attending events as pop-ups. And then some of them are just getting started. So some of them need help, you know, developing social media and developing a logo. And, you know, I offer assistance everywhere I can with stuff like that. Yeah. But it's been really amazing so far.
That's really cool. And y'all also kind of have created an event for them. Like,
yeah.
To kind of help bring in traffic, music, things like that.
We did. Yeah. Justin, our community development and tourism director, he started, what did we call it? Oh, the Downtown Downbeat. It's the live jazz that goes on kind of in conjunction with Red Brick Nights, because it's Red Brick Nights is always the first Saturday. The Downtown Downbeat, the live jazz, would be the second Saturday of each month. And it's a lot smaller. So for people who like Red Brick Nights is a little too much, the crowd's too big. They come out to the shops, they just bring their lawn chairs, and the jazz is, you know, it's smooth and it's calm and it's chill, and it's usually pretty cool outside because the buildings shade that area, so you don't have to worry about sitting in the sun. And it's just a nice, like, more kind of relaxing, tamed version of what Red Brick Nights is. And we usually try to have a food truck out there. And then Tammy Riggs with the Chamber started the Downtown Farmers Market every Friday. And that brings in so many people. So the Farmers Market sets up in the parking lot next to the shops area. And it basically just turns into a huge vendor market. And there's food trucks and there's live music. And a lot of people come to that. That's a fun one too.
That's really cool. Yeah. Those kind of things get you excited about there. And thank you for your investment in that. Since you've gotten into this role, like, what are some things that you've learned? Maybe did you find a new passion? Did you know that you were going to be so into community development? What has it been like for you?
Yeah, so when I first started the position and under like our previous leadership, it seemed like a lot of our focus was going to be in bringing in manufacturing and industrial and large companies that, you know, create a mass amount of jobs. And we poured a lot of effort into that. But as the years have gone by and as we've seen the kind of economic environment change, it's been a lot more focus in our downtown and small business and tourism and capitalizing on all of those things together. So we're working on more developments that would focus on our downtown and focus on benefiting small businesses. And I think it's been making a big difference since we've poured more effort into that area. So our downtown and our tourism is one of our biggest industries. Yeah. And, you know, film is up there too. People just, they really love the history of the town and the architecture and the character and everything. And I think that's something that I think it's a big benefit to capitalize on that part of, you know, what people enjoy about Guthrie. So, yeah, that's a big change. The going from trying to attract, you know, big manufacturers, big industrial businesses and stuff like that to really focusing on our downtown and small business development, that's a big shift, but I think it's been really worth it.
That's cool. Cool. Let's make a quick transition. Earlier, I heard you say that you and your sister talked to each other through movie quotes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What's some of your favorite movies? Oh. I need to get back to that because I really want to know where we're at in this movie.
It's thing. Not going to be good ones. It's like the amount of times that we quote Dumb and Dumber, Jim Carrey movies. Yeah. It's a lot of those. We talk in a lot of movie quotes. And that's like 80% of our conversation, but it doesn't lead to anyone thinking that we're intelligent people whenever we do that. So yeah, we kind of keep it between the sisters.
Do you have that movie that you can watch over and over again? It doesn't matter how many times.
Horror movies.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. All of the Screams, Halloweens, Friday the 13th, all of the classic horror movies. Yeah, I could watch those. I'll go to sleep to those.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
You won't dream and have nightmares?
No.
Wow. Were you ever into like Saw?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my. So my wife was into horror movies.
It's a woman thing.
And I remember the first time, like, I'm just trying to be with her. She wants to go see Saw, and I'm like, honey, I
spared Aaron of that eventually. I think that's kind of one of the ways that he tried to win me over. When we first started dating, he would take me to all the haunted houses, and he'd take me to have like scary movie nights and stuff. And now he's like, I already got you. I don't have to do that stuff anymore.
I know, we're done with that
stuff. Like, go get your girlfriends, go get your sisters. Those are for y'all to do together. I'm out. I did my couple of years of doing that. So
yeah, no. So yeah, I can't do those kind of movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, that's cool. Now, what else? What are some other things? I know at one time you were like doing jiu-jitsu. Is that something like you enjoy that kind of stuff? Was that trying to be fit? What's some things that you like to get into?
Oh, I love jiu-jitsu. My husband got into it first. It was at Top Tier Martial Arts here in town. And he's been a wrestler, boxer, all of that stuff for the longest time. But I had never done anything like that. I was like a softball and volleyball girly. But he had been in jiu-jitsu for like a month or so, and he was like, you've got to come. You're going to have a great time, I swear. And I finally started going, and at first, I was like, y'all are nuts. Yeah. Y'all get sweaty. You roll around with other people for like hours. It's weird. It's weird. But after I did it for a couple of months, it makes you feel so much more confident just because of your ability to defend yourself. You know, like, not that, you know, we're saying that we would like need to or anything, but knowing that you're strong in that way and that you have, you know, the knowledge of being able to, because a lot of it was like women's self-defense focused, which is what I really enjoyed. So I think that jiu-jitsu is great for everyone. It's great for keeping you in shape. You'll work muscles you didn't even know you had. I mean, even like my hands and my fingers would be sore because you're holding on to gis and stuff. But I think it's great for everyone. It's great for kids, women, children. I mean, everyone. Everyone can benefit from it. I think self-defense is so important. But we really, we did top-tier martial arts for several years. Once I got pregnant, obviously, I took a break from it. And I haven't gotten back into it just because schedules are kind of crazy. You know, I'm at work 8 to 5 every day. And then if I was doing jiu-jitsu, I would maybe see my son like an hour or so every evening. So until he's a little bit older and he's able to do it with us, I want to prioritize spending time with him. But love jiu-jitsu.
Yeah. And just talking about time, like, you are also, own a business. Like, y'all run a business.
Yeah.
Develop houses.
Yeah. Aaron, he left the oil field in 2020. And that's whenever he started his construction business. And he started doing kind of more like handyman projects around town. He did some work over at the Guthrie Depot. He did some work for the Redstone Inn. He did some work on some other historic buildings. And then once his dad moved here, his mom and his dad moved here, that's when they started building houses together. Okay. So this year we will have wrapped up our second house, and then hopefully we'll be working on a new home starting around the summertime.
Gotcha.
So,
gotcha.
Yep. So they're running their whole business. I try to do kind of the business side of it, the social media side and marketing and stuff like that. But it's been really great. I mean, they build, that's all Russ did back in Minnesota was home building. So they do beautiful work and they build beautiful houses. And I get to be on the design side of it. So I design the home, our home at least. Russ did most of the design for their home, but the home that we're building right now is going to be Aaron and I's. So I'm getting to design everything from the inside out, and I love it.
Are you enjoying it?
Oh, yeah.
Had you ever thought about designing your own home at some point? Like, and what, like, when did you start envisioning, like, this is what I want in the house?
It actually was the homes here in Guthrie that made me be like, because these historic homes are some of the most amazing I've ever seen. I have never seen architecture like is here in Guthrie. And some of the homes, whenever we first moved here, we probably looked at 6 or 7 at the time. And I just thought that they were incredible. I love the historic homes. I love the Victorian era architecture and character inside these homes. And that was what I wanted for our house, especially with where we're building it. It's near the historic district. So I didn't want it to feel like we just built a brand new modern style home in this historic area. I want it to feel like it's a historic home that's just been really well maintained. Yeah. I want the character to fit. I want there to be more antique Victorian features throughout the home as you walk through it. So I've been really, really enjoying looking into Victorian style architecture, and American Foursquare is actually the style of home that we're building, which you see those all over Guthrie. Mm-hmm. And I've actually even considered going and knocking on some doors and being like, would you mind just letting me look inside your house? I just want to see what the trim looks like. I want to see what you did with the fireplace. Yeah. I want to see the inside of the house.
You can get away with that here.
I think I could. Yeah. I feel like if I just told them, like, I swear to you, I work at the city.
Yeah.
We're building a house over here. I swear I'm a trustworthy person. Just let me see the inside of your house. I feel like
just
I could do it.
Just have some idea. When they open the door.
I'll just bring you with me. Everyone knows you. I'll be like, you see my friend Hedy. He can back me up. I just need to look at the inside of your house.
She's good. Let her in.
I'm going to try to make some magic happen with it. So.
Yes. No, that's really good. And just talking about homes, like when you think about homes, you think about families. Mm-hmm. We're talking about community here. What does it mean when you see us use like hashtags like community wins? How do you think about giving back and helping create that?
Well, that was another thing. Like when we first moved here and I told you the way everyone is so kind and so excited to have you in Guthrie, that's what keeps people coming back to town. And that's what keeps people shopping local and supporting local businesses and local nonprofits. I mean, when you support your community and you back your community up, it gets people more excited to come back. And that helps your community succeed because people remember that. Yeah. That kind of stuff sticks in people's brains. When they come to your community and they have a great experience because you have great businesses, you have positive interactions with people out on the street, it's going to keep people coming back. And like I said, tourism is one of our biggest industries. The stuff that keeps people coming back to town, spending their dollars here, staying here, moving here, everything. I mean, the community is going to keep winning as long as there's people supporting it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and talking about that, like being kind to people and all that stuff, but in our events, there's the Territorial Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I've met at least 2 or 3 people who's like, yeah, I moved to Guthrie because I came to the Territorial Christmas event.
I love that.
You know? And
I love
that. That is so cool. And then your involvement in that,
mm-hmm.
how has that been for you? Do you see us continuing to grow that and allow for it to be a big part of who we are as a community?
Oh, yeah. I hope so. I joined the Christmas board for fun back, actually, whenever we first moved here. For fun.
Yeah.
It's a lot more serious now. But I remember it was actually Kaylin Swanger. I believe I don't know if she was just a board member or if she was the president of the board at the time. But I went into the boarding house to like get some coffee something casual.
I love the boarding house.
I know. That's the best place. And she was like, you know, you should join the Christmas board. It's so much fun. And I was like, ooh, I love Christmas. Like, that seems like it would be fun. And now it's taken over my entire life. But it is so amazing. And it feels like every year it just gets better and better and better. And it keeps growing. And the amount of people who get excited about it, the amount of social media traction that it's been getting recently, just in the past few years. I mean, it's like, when Christmas season rolls around, we are getting a new news outlet reporting on the Christmas events coming up like every week. It's such a big deal, and the excitement about it is growing. And we'll have people who come up and tell us like, oh, they've been coming every year for the past 12 years and stuff, and they always try to get pictures here and there. And it's so rewarding when you finally see it all come together and have everyone come to town and talk about what an amazing time they had. And the merchants who talk about, you know, what great nights of sales they had. That's the I love to see the economic developer side of me loves to see the businesses benefit when events like that play out properly.
Yeah, and so much of it, that's what it's about, is really about how do we get people inside. We want people to come and enjoy the town.
Oh, yeah.
The supporting the business, out of that, families are taken care of.
Yes.
You know, and then there's more opportunity for more businesses to start.
Yes.
When we have more of that. But that foot traffic and all those things are so important to us. And as the more we promote that, and the more people, like, we're here at my house now, you said you're gonna walk home. Like,
yeah,
the more we promote the walkability of this community and are getting on the bike and all that, it just makes my heart that much more
I know happy. And that's what I really want to get across to people. I sound like a crazy person when I'm always like trying to push this down people's throats, but obviously, it sounds like we're always just saying, like, spend money in Guthrie because we're like shop local and come here to do events and stuff like that. But it is so much more than that. I have tried to convince so many people to move here. My friends back in Texas, anytime we talk and get on the phone, I'm like, are you going to move to Guthrie? It's like convincing people that they would love it here so much. I mean, so much about this community is worth it. I know that there's an entire world out there, but it just, ever since we've moved here, it's like, we don't need to go anywhere else. Yeah. This is the right place to be.
Yeah. So it's only growing. The sky's the limit. And just talking about that whole concept of business and all that, it is so much more when we talk about Choose Guthrie. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just about shopping and spending money. Choose Guthrie means so much more than just that. And I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
What we're talking about today. But just thinking about the whole hashtag Choose Guthrie, mm-hmm. what does that mean to you? How do you see that being a part of who we are?
I mean, it really does. It means choose Guthrie for your family. Choose, you know, to live here, to grow here, to invest here. I mean, we moved here in 2018. My husband has started a business here. We have gotten both his family and my family to move here to Guthrie, and they love it here. It's a very easy town to market because of how amazing it is. Yeah. But I mean, getting people to choose Guthrie for their family, they're choosing so much more than just a house or a neighborhood or a subdivision. I mean, looking at the schools, the way Guthrie Public Schools has grown, we have been here for 5 years. We have already gotten a new elementary school. Another new elementary school is on the way. They've done improvements out at the high school. Yes. I have never seen a community whose schools are growing and evolving that much over that short a time. And they're not stopping.
No.
I mean, the leadership that we have over at the schools prioritizing the future for the kids is so impressive. And the business community, the way they all rally around each other to support each other. We have just at the schools, in the business, at the city, we have incredible leadership that is really trying to push Guthrie in the right direction. And I think I will promote Guthrie till the day I die. Yeah. If we ever move, I can't see us ever moving. If we ever move, I'm still going to tell people, you should check out this town in Oklahoma. It's amazing.
Yeah. No, you can't move.
No, I don't plan on it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, whenever my friends talking about Choose Guthrie and being more than just promote businesses, like schools is a big part of it.
Yeah.
Because that's one of the first things when people ask me about moving to Guthrie. It's like, what are the schools like? You know,
like, you're like, let me tell you.
Yeah, let me tell you. Yeah, it's like we continue to invest. People are making decisions around their voting.
Yes.
Regarding schools. And I remember when Dr. Simpson first came, one of the things that he taught me early, he's like, look at neighborhoods and the ones that are being built. And it was a time where they didn't put Guthrie schools on them.
Yeah.
And they did that intentionally because they didn't want people to know that they were going to have to be in the Guthrie school district.
Wow.
Because they may not would buy the house there.
Really?
And so over time, now I drive by and people are putting Guthrie school district. Oh,
yeah.
On. Yeah. Because
yeah, they want to represent.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're investing. We're making a difference. We're, as a community, we're choosing Guthrie.
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, like I said, the community that I grew up in, I was there for at least 19 years. Our school never changed.
Yeah.
Okay. Not even a bathroom was upgraded in the time that I was there. Okay. And I have been here for 5 years, and every single school has received improvements and upgrades, and the leadership is investing in every age group. I mean, the amount of improvements and evolution that the schools have made just in the past 5 years that I've been able to see, it's amazing. And I know they're not planning on stopping anytime soon.
No, we're not. And we're going to continue to grow, especially as Oklahoma City and Edmond grow. We're going to grow.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to feel that.
More and more people are interested in investing in Guthrie now just because of the growth that's happening. And I'm not mad about that one bit.
Not at all. Shonda, thank you for joining me today.
Yeah.
This has been fun.
It has. I love talking about Guthrie. I could do that all day. So
get to know you better.
Yeah.
Know that you're into horror movies. Now I know this. Okay.
So I know.
It's really good. And just thank you again for joining us. And thank you all for hitting that play button. Those of you who are listening for another episode of the Guthrie America podcast, we are on a mission to have every story told of the people who do life in our favorite community and who are from here. And I love to ask the question, will yours be next?